Welcome to the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast, where each week we're joined by leaders of Guaranteed Irish member businesses to chat about how they sustain jobs, communities and provenance. Supported by FBD Insurance, Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. Support, it's what we do.
Hello and welcome to Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast. Hi there, I'm your host Breed O'Connell and I'm delighted to welcome Phil Keane, General Manager with Neat Gates, to tell us more about his business and the objectives that they have, and also, of course, to hear about their contribution to local communities and its support for local jobs. The podcast, as you know, is aimed to shine a light on all Guaranteed Irish businesses across Ireland and how these businesses benefit their local communities, drive innovation and stay competitive in a global marketplace. I am delighted to welcome you to the podcast today, Phil. You're very welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, Neat Gates, in business for 2 years nearly. Tell us a little bit about it for the listeners, where it's based, what you do exactly.
We're based in Damastown, not far from Blanchardstown. We decided to manufacture our aluminium gates in Ireland. We were importing them before then through the Electro Group. It was difficult, it was long, it was costly, there was a lot of issues with quality, there was a lot of damage. So we decided to manufacture them locally, import the raw materials and manufacture them locally.
A brilliant opportunity to create extra jobs here in the Irish economy. And of course, yourself, Phil, being an industrial engineer originally, and you're a whiz, clearly, at turning design into a product. Tell us a little bit about the process of bringing the aluminium in and then creating the gates. And I've seen them around. They're very smart and slick design. Really like them. Tell us a little bit about the process and what's involved.
Well, the process, from our point of view, starts with the requirement and the design. All our designs are done in 3D, and the 3D is done against the standard suite of design products and variations on it. Once the design is decided, we do all the drawings, which are approved by the client before we even start making the gates. And those designs can be partly converted into programs. Mm. We use the latest CNC controlled manufacturing equipment, which manufactures every part to plus or minus 0.3 of a millimeter. So when they go together, they actually fit to the design. So there's no issues with quality. So we've taken every step to make it as slick and as efficient as we possibly can. And of course, it's reflected in the quality and in some cases, and most cases, the cost.
Well, what I really like is the idea of them being bespoke to each person's space. So it really makes it individual. And as you say, it actually fits and does the job it's supposed to do, which is probably a little bit unique out there, is it?
Well, in Ireland, it's not, because it's very difficult to get the builder to build two houses beside one another and they're all the same dimensions. Mm. And we always recognise that people have different ideas of what they need. So the gate is usually left to the end of people's requirements when they move into a new home. In other countries, when you buy a gate, the majority of people who make aluminium gates would sell them to set sizes.
Yeah. So, and then that next is the next question, Phil. In terms of export, are you exporting at the moment?
No.
And is that an objective or a goal
Absolutely.
For the company?
Great. Absolutely. We believe we make the best aluminium gate in Ireland. We're the only ones actually manufacturing gates in Ireland of that type. And the market is huge.
Wide open.
I believe it's wide open. And you know, my ambition, our ambition, the company's ambition is to do the same in the UK. We've already exported some gates to the UK. And to put a container a month of gates to the US or other parts of the world. It is a brilliant product.
And so you have dipped your toe in terms of exporting. It's just to scale it up, I assume.
It's a question now of scaling up not only the manufacturing side of it, but the systems, the management systems associated with handling the volume.
And how many people are you employing at the
We've
moment?
We've only got 7 people in the company.
That's great. So it's a really efficient system then.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And 3 or 4 of the manufacturing people in the company would add up to about nearly 100 years of experience fabricating with aluminium.
Amazing, isn't it?
So these guys are real, really, really artisans.
So before I go on to the background of the company, I assume then with aluminium there's a huge sustainability agenda within the organisation.
There is. The aluminium is one of those materials that's readily available around the world. It's lightweight. It lasts basically forever if you look after it. As far as we're concerned, when you buy our gate, you're buying a gate for life.
Yeah.
It'll outlast most of the people who buy them and the house that they're put on. Maintenance is absolutely negligible in real essence. Mm. We use nothing that's corrosive with the gate. We also use all stainless steel products, stainless locks, stainless handles. And so it is very, very, very easy to keep. Little or no maintenance. The normal gate will last you 3 to 5 years. Mm. The wooden gate will last you less. Mm. They'll need a lot of maintenance to keep them alive.
That's right.
And you get fed up with it and take a lot of resources doing
so. Absolutely. So you mentioned earlier in the introduction there that it was owned by the Electro Group. A really behind the scenes quite group, if you like, but you've done quite a lot of work yourself in and out of the Electro Group. Tell us a little bit about the Electro Group first and where that has come from and what other businesses they're involved with, and then maybe we'll talk about your own colourful background that has got us to here already, which is really interesting.
Well, the Electro Group were started by two gentlemen, Mr. Doherty and Mr. Walsh, in 1984 in Dublin. Two tradesmen who started providing electrical services, automating gates. In fact, I think they automated the first gate in Ireland.
Right.
Long, long, long time ago. And someone said it was still running.
Yeah.
So they then branched out into other areas like car parking, providing technology car parks. Okay. They would have been the biggest provider of car parks in Ireland.
Right.
The biggest provider of gate automation, building automation. Access control systems.
Access control, right.
They got involved in tollways, motorways. They got
It's their technology, is it?
Yeah. No, it's other people's technology. We were the facilitators and we were the ones who were to apply them the right solution to the right facility or the right requirement from a commercial point of view. They did start manufacturing barriers at one stage. Didn't prove to be a long-term project, so they kept going in terms of road management and motorway management and maintenance. They were involved in automating the tunnel that was built in Dublin.
Yeah.
You know, so transport.
It's grown into a huge business now, obviously.
It is. We're in England. They are in England. They're in Germany. And they've got other companies associated within the manufacturing area, supplying things like turnstiles for big football
venues,
Wembley, for example, those types of situations.
So amazing.
They've been involved in very innovative and Paddy is very progressive, very, very always looking for the
Donegal man. There's always a little bit of innovation coming out of Donegal. I think it's at the West of Ireland thing. It's really strong.
Donegal man down.
Isn't that great though? Yeah, I love to hear. And there's such quiet stories you don't hear about, but there are entrepreneurs dotted in every town and village across Ireland, and it's amazing. It's always the quiet guys or women who are achieving.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But like yourself now, Phil, as well, you've definitely been around the block. You've had a very colourful career, which makes you really perfect in this space in terms of innovation, because you've come from, your background has included industrial design, as I mentioned, but even medical design, med tech, all that. Give us a little bit of flavour about your own history and where you've come from, because you came back from the States to start this business.
Yeah, well look, I started out as a part-time worker with Aer Lingus many years ago.
Okay.
I wanted to be a pilot, and I joined Aer Lingus to be a pilot. They discovered I wore glasses, so I was disqualified. In those days, you could do that.
Well, I suppose in those days, we kind of needed to know where we were going. All right, Phil. Yeah. Now, that's actually all taken out of your hands now.
No, it is. So I went into manufacturing, making telecommunications equipment in Tala.
Yeah.
And in that area, it was the beginning, really, of the manufacturing revolution, as far as I was concerned, from a technology point of view. I was engaged with every single process within the manufacturing process, from in electronics, in any goods or services, whether it be domestic, whether it be commercial, whether it be health. That was the beginning of the birth of making things efficiently and effectively and design. So in that area, I made things that you know that are still underneath the Atlantic Ocean, and may things that are in people's chests in terms of pacemakers, may things in cardiac monitoring equipment, ultrasound equipment. I was involved then in manufacturing printed circuit boards and joint ventures in China, in making software in India. It just goes on and goes on.
It's amazing how you can leapfrog from one to the other. And when you're at that cusp of change and innovation, you really learned all the different streams, which makes it really, you're one of a kind now, obviously, Phil, the level of experience you'd bring to any team.
Well, I don't think of it that way. I just think of going through a process of getting one job, being reasonable at the job, making more money and keeping the family alive and well. And that
I understand it, actually. So brilliance coupled with humility, how lovely. But in terms of bringing that forward then into Neat Gates, that experience and, I suppose, innovation and that design drive that you have for more innovation must be hugely beneficial to the business. What are the next steps for the Neat Gates then? What are their next steps for the next 12 months, shall we say? Obviously, you're going to the export piece, but are there new innovations coming in?
Well, we're looking at different products. There are lots of, you know, Ireland's become, because of the pandemic, good things turn into bad results, or good results, should I say, bad things. Mm. And you know, we're a little more outdoor than we used to be.
That's right. Yeah.
Leisure, outdoor living,
sure.
Barbecues, there are a lot of products that are suitable for that, and they fall right into our lap in terms of, you know, their ability to be useful and for people to get outside. If you go to the States, you'll find they have barbecues in the middle of winter and they love it because they enjoy their environment all year round.
Of course. So what new is there now in the Irish basket of goods other than the gates as a result of COVID and the outdoor experiences being more embraced by us?
Well, you know, there are simple things that you take for granted in some areas of the world, things like pergolas. But these pergolas in Ireland would close over and they'd stop the rain coming in.
That's right.
Or you'd have a barrier of glass around your decking that would rise because you press a button when the wind starts to blow too much.
Fabulous. Do you know, produce those now?
These already exist to this day.
And are you bringing them in? And
well, please God.
Yeah.
There'd be versions of that brought in, and there's balustrades, there's all types of doors that disappear and glass doors. Aluminium is a medium that consider that they use it to fly you from one around the world in an aluminium tube. Consider also that practical knowledge can be used to make life more comfortable on the planet we work on. So it's
and kind to the environment. So in terms then of the plans for growing the business out around Blanchardstown there where you're manufacturing at the moment, do you see the production and manufacturing doubling, quadrupling? And if so, will you be exporting from Ireland or will you set up the same shop again in the UK and start manufacturing from there?
Well, it's the closer you are to the market, in terms of gates, the better off you are in terms of getting
logistics,
the right quality to the individuals. From our point of view, manufacturing in England or manufacturing in Ireland, the export opportunity from Ireland will be roughly where we want to work from.
Okay.
I really believe Ireland, you know, I've spent a lot of my life overseas. Very, very proud of Ireland. Ireland punches way above its weight. It's considered in most parts of the world as being leaders in technology and innovation across all factors. And so Ireland's a great, great business partner. The Americans love having an Irish company in partnerships because they're reliable, they're smart, and we work very, very hard at making a success out of it. So, no, I'd like to think Ireland becomes the centre point for whatever we do going forward.
Oh, very reassuring. So you became members of Guaranteed Irish there last year. How beneficial has that been to Neat Gates, or is it doing any heavy lifting for you?
Well, we just finished the show, the self-build in Limerick a couple of weeks ago. People have noticed the logo, the Guaranteed Irish. A lot of people may comment, great. You know, and it's one of the reasons some people have told us. It's one of the reasons they're talking to us.
Right, because of the Irish
connection. Guaranteed Irish is treated very, very, very highly by a lot of people. It's surprising. I was surprised, but it is. No, we're proud. We're proud. Look, we love what we do. We love our product. We're very proud of our product.
Yeah.
As some people say, it's only a gate, but it's not. We see it as a thing of beauty.
Of course. So, I get that. Well, that's the designer in you. And don't be too surprised about Guaranteed Irish being helpful. It has been around for 50 years, Phil, and I suppose it has earned its stripes in trust for the consumer who's thinking about making the purchase.
Well, absolutely. Mm. And it's considered by people overseas as a stamp of quality and approval as well.
Isn't that great to see that?
Yeah.
That it has had so many impacts on our exports, which is an area that we're really looking forward to delving into more. Well, I have to say, Phil Keane, I could talk to you all day with all your experiences across the waters and all the different things you've put your hands to, but from making pacemakers to gates, thank you so much for joining us today on the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Please like, share and follow and review this programme if you found it interesting on the platform you're listening to right now, and remember to share and support the idea of supporting other businesses based here in Ireland, because remember, at the end of the day, they are the guys who support jobs, support our communities and our economy. They give back. If you feel your business can benefit from networking with like-minded other businesses here in Ireland, contact guaranteedirish.ie for more information. In the meantime, take care and enjoy the rest of your week, and as you go, look out for the G.
The Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast, sponsored by FBD Insurance, Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. Support. It's what we do.